차셔너 이것의 운 우비아임 사임 기분 예 이것의 운
Welcome back to another 2 hours of Jewish soul music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. This is show number 309 for August 24th, 2015. Yes, the holidays are right around the corner, and Slichas is coming soon. The second hour will be an outstanding Slichas davening with the wonderful cantor Leib Glantz. We'll be beginning this first hour with an interview with cantor Henry Rosenblum. I encourage you to stay tuned to the end of the program, this first hour. I'm rebroadcasting something from March of 2007. That's about 8 years ago when I was on the radio live here in Manhattan. And I had a section on my program called Name That Cousin, and it was always a lot of fun. I would play three cantors. Whoever would identify the three cantors, I'd send them a free CD or a record album or a prize. And this particular one I made rather difficult. I was in the car recently listening to some of my old shows, and I said, oh, this would be fun. The biggest problem, of course, is that this program used to be done live on Monday evenings, but I found that 95% of you were listening to this program through the archive, and it was rather difficult to keep 9 to 11 every Monday night as a live program. So then I've gone to recording this, a new program every week. If you have any suggestions on how I might accomplish Name That Cousin as I did when it was live, I'm open to your suggestions. So, without further ado, let's go to this interview with cantor Henry Rosenblum. You know, I've been doing interviews for the past month or so, month and a half. Well, I'm very pleased to have with me on the phone an old friend, current chazan at the Forest Hills Jewish Center, cantor Henry Rosenblum. Shalom, Henry. How are you?
Fine, Charlie. How are you doing?
Okay. For my listeners, why don't you first just tell us a little bit about where you were born and raised, and then how you became interested in chazanis.
So I grew up in Brooklyn at the East Midwood Jewish Center. And it was a shul that had a wonderful old Eastern European chazan, Joseph Adelson, who had an amazing voice. But as a lot of kids in those days, I wasn't particularly interested in being in the adult congregation. We had a very vibrant teenage congregation where we'd have a couple hundred kids every Shabbos morning. And we led services ourselves, and the most influential piece of my upbringing was the opportunity to attend Camp Ramah. I was a camper at Camp Ramah and Nyack in 1961, 62, and 63, and then worked at Ramah in the Berkshires for many years. And it was in that setting that I really found how easy it was to be Jewish and to be connected to an observant lifestyle and to ultimately find an expression for my Jewishness through music. I was interested in, I always led services at camp, and likewise when I came home from camp, had an opportunity to lead services in the main sanctuary at East Midwood when they'd give us a couple of opportunities for the teens to take over the service. Went to speak with my music teacher about my interest in becoming a cantor, and he said, you shouldn't become a cantor, you should become a rabbi. So I really revered him. I enjoyed all the time we spent together doing music, and I said, gee, maybe he knows something. So I began preparing for application to rabbinical school and decided to apply to cantorial school as well. I applied to both schools, and ultimately, after having the interviews in both places, decided that the cantorate was really the right place for me, where I could combine my love for Yiddishkeit and my love for music. So I went to Brooklyn College. Although I didn't major in music, I majored in philosophy in case I decided to go into the rabbinate, but was involved in the chorus and chamber chorus and all sorts of music. And after graduating from college, went to cantorial school at JTS, the Jewish Theological Seminary, completed my studies in 1972, and began serving congregations in New York, New Jersey, Chicago, and then back in New York.
Yeah, I first met you when you were at Orev Sholem in South Orange. That was a few years back.
It was a few years back. It was a wonderful congregation. We were there for 9 years. And it was after I left Orev Sholem, we moved, Susan and I, my wife and I, moved out to Highland Park, Illinois, where we stayed for 11 years. And because my father-in-law had become ill at the time and was dying of cancer, we decided that if an opportunity came to move to a congregation back on the East Coast where we could be closer to family, we would want to do that. And while looking for cantorial openings through the placement of the Cantors Assembly, I was approached by Professor Ismar Shorsh of the Jewish Theological Seminary. Was I interested in becoming the dean of the cantorial school? And we moved back east, and I served as the dean of the cantorial school for 12 years.
Is the situation, if you had to describe the status of Chazonus today?
It's in a state of transition. In the Orthodox world, outside of a few major shuls that still have a cantor, most Orthodox congregations don't have a professional chazan. They let lay people lead services. I'm not going to comment on it other than to say that at times the level of what goes on in that type of davening leaves something to be desired. But in the Orthodox world, chazanus as an art form has reached a level that it really had never been at before, where there are cantorial concerts that thousands of people each year go to hear these concerts throughout the states and in Israel and in Europe. They may not want chazanus in the shul, but they like listening to it as an art form.
Mm-hmm.
In the conservative movement, the role of the cantor has reached a very significant level, where cantors and rabbis are partners in the leadership of their congregations. One specializes in the word and in teaching, teaching Torah, and the other specializes in the musical and spiritual life of a congregation. And both pieces together do make for strong congregations. That has become the model in Reform congregations as well. The nature of what a cantor does in the congregations, however, has changed. And so whereas, in the 1930s, 1940s, even the 50s, a chazan was engaged and revered based upon how that person sang and interpreted prayer. And in Reform and conservative congregations today, what you do on the pulpit is really just a piece of your responsibilities, and in many of those shuls, not even the major piece. So you're a teacher, and you are a pastor, and you are a role model for kids. You may be a Torah reader in summer shuls. You may be an educational director. A lot of different hats are worn. We still want the cantor to be able to interpret prayer. But more so than being the soloist, you're now one whose main goal is to engage the congregation in prayer. So I find that my successful service is one in which there's a significant amount of congregational singing, an opportunity for the congregation to daven together with me. If I can engage them, I get time to do some of the things that I want. But if I approach it by first trying to carve out what are the things that I want to do for myself and distribute the crumbs to the congregation, that will not be a successful experience.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. The role of choirs in your life. I think, as I recall, weren't you in Zamir?
So there are two different types of choral experiences. I sang with the Zamir Chorale in New York for many years. Even sang with Zamir when we appeared in the Zimria, the choral festival in Israel, a number of times. Actually, one of my roommates over time was Mati Lazar, who is the conductor of the Zamir Chorale, as well as the founder of the North American Jewish Choral Foundation.
And by the way, he also provided the choirs for many of our Cantor's World events. They were so outstanding.
Right. Yes. So that choral piece has always been a very important one for me. Grew up in a shul that had, as I mentioned earlier, a very famous cantor, and we also had a wonderful choir in the congregation. This was a choir conducted by Abraham Nadel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Abe's wife and family members were part of that choir, and, you know, services always had major moments for cantor and choir. When I was the cantor at Ob Sholem in South Orange, where you and I met, that congregation in those days still had a professional quartet that sang with me every Friday night and Saturday morning, as well as festivals and high holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So the choral experience was a significant one. Choirs have, again, moved into the background significantly in many congregations today. So for those cantors who want to try to have choirs, sometimes you may be able to have an adult choir. Not so easy to do. It's much easier to start to have a children's choir.
Yes.
There's a double reason. Number one, it's easier to spend the time with kids because they're there in the religious school and they can be there for rehearsals. But if you bring the kids to sing in the shul, the parents will come too.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it's also difficult to find a good choir leader at times. That does become a factor.
It can be a challenge.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to be gained by having different textures in the music of the service. Solo singing, choral singing, congregational singing, you put it all together and it makes an integrated whole. Sometimes if you only have one and you're missing the others, the service really loses something.
Interesting. By the way, when the Nadels, when you were with that period, did you know Jeffrey and his brother?
So I didn't know Jeffrey and Richard and Cliff at that point in time.
Uh-huh.
I got friendlier with them afterwards. Richie and I became quite close because while I was the cantor at Ob Shalom in South Orange, He was a cantor at Beth Am in Springfield, New Jersey. So we were neighbors, and then a number of years ago, while I was dean of the cantorial school, I brought Richie in to become one of the coaches, cantorial coach in the school. And Jeffrey I knew through my work with the Cantors Assembly, where I was president. Obviously, knew Jeffrey, who's a great pulpit artist as well as being a wonderful attorney.
Yes, yes, for sure. So what advice would you give a young person today who might be interested in entering the world of Chazanut?
I'm still convinced that it is a wonderful way to spend your life, to become part of the fabric of a community. And you have music as a tool for touching people. So I encourage people to go into the cantorate, but with their eyes open, to understand that if you're doing this because you think you're going to have a performance type experience available to you, you know, I'm gonna have my pulpit from which I can sing, and you know, people are gonna listen and be enthralled with what I do. I'm not sure you're going into the right profession. But if you see yourself as someone who wants to give to others, to help enhance Jewish lives, to make music a part of people's lives, and to be an integral part of your own, I still think it's a wonderful profession.
I know in the Orthodox arena, the jobs are, as mentioned, are quite rare. Is there difficulty in non-Orthodox circles?
There are still many jobs throughout the country. The Cantors Assembly has a placement commission. I happen to sit on that committee. And we have applications from congregations throughout the country, throughout North America. We even filled a position in England a couple of years ago. But predominantly it's North American congregations who are looking for a cantor for their congregation. They come to the assembly and they write out what they're looking for, what the responsibilities are, what the compensation is, who the rabbi is, what their vision for a congregation is, and members of the assembly can apply for these positions and hopefully secure that job. But there definitely are jobs throughout the country.
So I often tell the Orthodox young person who asks me, I say, go out and earn a living and let Chazanus be your avocation. But that presumes that they're only going to be doing singing without the other additional
responsibilities. In conservative and reformed congregations, there is work that needs to be done in terms of training bar mitzvah kids and working doing some teaching in the religious school, spending time with preschoolers, hospital visitation, pastoral care. You really are. It's a two-headed clergy, the rabbi and the cantor. Lots of times there's overlap. In the Orthodox world, many of those same needs are not present in terms of the type of involvement in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's an important component for understanding the need for a cantor as well as justification for paying a salary, if you don't have those needs in the Orthodox congregation, they're not going to imagine the cantor as a viable clergy person.
Mm-hmm. I know there was a revolution in your arena a few years back with the inclusion of women.
Yeah, it's a long time already. The conservative and reform congregations have embraced egalitarianism, where men and women are able to perform the same functions in Jewish life. So when that decision was made, I'll talk about the conservative movement, when that decision was made by JTS to accept women into the rabbinical school and the cantorial school, it marked a major change. Now, it was up to congregations to decide, did they want to embrace female clergy or not? And it was a process. I would say that in the congregations that today apply for placement, you can count on one hand the number of congregations that insist upon their cantor being a male.
Mm-hmm.
Egalitarianism doesn't mean that you must do this, but rather it is something that is available to you. So a congregation can choose to accept women in clergy positions, can choose to have aliyot for women, can choose to count the women in the minyan, or they can choose not to. And it's up to the rabbi and the ritual committees to decide what the policies of the congregation are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But when we first started examining this issue within the Cantor's Assembly, there were those who were afraid it was going to fracture the Assembly, and we spent a number of years studying the whole question of women as cantors, and the decision was ultimately reached to accept, and I would say we lost, when all the dust settled, there were only two members of the Assembly who chose to resign from the Assembly over this.
Mm-hmm.
There were those who had threatened that they would, and when everything was all resolved, we only lost two members of the Assembly.
I have sort of lived with a certain situation in my years providing the Jewish music. But I have so many thousands of records with a female voice, and I didn't know what to do. And when a friend of mine, a Lubavitcher rabbi who I had met in Israel, I voiced my lament. He said, because I said in years ago, I used to say, if Kol Isha is an issue, shut the radio off.
Right.
And he said, no, you shouldn't do that. He said, you should every once in a while do an hour for women, by women. And anybody who doesn't want to listen, they'll shut it off. And
it is harder for the Orthodox person who subscribes to the notion of Kol Isha. That's a long conversation.
Uh-huh.
I can just tell you that in the conservative world, it is not an issue.
Uh-huh.
We don't believe that there that Kol B'Isha Erva. The same way that the rabbis felt that a man would be distracted by a female voice, one could turn it around and say, and isn't a woman distracted by a male voice?
Mm-hmm.
When the decision was made in the conservative movement to have mixed seating, that there was no mechitza any longer in the shul, the question of Kol Isha was out the window. And some of the finest cantors serving reform congregations throughout the country are female.
Yeah, I particularly like Deborah Kachko and... way back, I mean, this is sort of off the point in a way, if you'll forgive me, but I was a great fan, or I am still, of Bathsheva, Shendela, and Perla Feig. And I remember there was a rabbinical issue in Israel. A young man had a voice that sounded like a woman, and the rabbis wanted that male to be prohibited from singing chazanas. So I raised the question, if they can bar a male who sounds like a woman, will they bar a woman who sounds like a male? Anyway.
My issue, look, I have recordings of the three, they were known as the Chazantes.
Uh-huh.
I have recordings of Bathsheva and Perla Feig and, I'm blanking out who you just mentioned.
Shendela.
And Shendela.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you see, they didn't. They were not officiating in shuls as cantors.
Uh-huh.
They were simply singing that same type of music. And in particular, Schindler's voice was quite low. So if you, you know, closed your eyes, you actually thought that you were listening to a male singing,
yes.
you know, a high male voice.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about women today who are serving as cantors, not people who are singing a certain style of music, but people who are davening in shuls, who are leading their congregations in prayer. I have the privilege, I teach at HUC now, and many of the students that I teach are female. I have, you know, men and women both studying to serve congregations, and gender is just not an issue. We're talking about people who want to serve Klal Yisrael, and that's one of the things that separates Reform and Conservative from Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
That we're looking at human beings to do a function, not can a male do this or can a female do this, and that's a major difference.
Understood. Well, Cantor Rosenblum, any closing thoughts?
Well, I'm glad we were finally able to get together to talk. I will tell you that I have a privilege of working here at the Forest Hills Jewish Center. One of the great gifts given to me is that my rabbinic colleague, Gerald Skolnick, is a lifelong friend. We've been friends for about 40 years. I officiated at his wedding. He was one of the witnesses at my wedding. We sang in Zamir together. We worked at Camp Ramah together. And now we serve the same congregation. And having a rabbi who's musical and appreciates chazanut and tefillah and music within congregational life is a gift. Jerry teaches a class in the Hebrew High School of Israeli folk song and uses that as a basis for teaching about Eretz Yisrael and about the Hebrew language.
Mm-hmm.
So when we sing with preschoolers together, he is the one playing the guitar, and I may be the one telling the story. So a little of typical role reversal.
Mm-hmm.
But we play together beautifully, and for me it's a personal gift, and it's a model that I wish other rabbis and cantors could have a chance to emulate.
For sure. Well, I thank you for sharing your thoughts with us, and regards to your wonderful wife, Susan, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Charlie, thank you so much. My best to you and to your family, and I look forward to seeing you, and Shana Tova, a happy and a healthy new year to you.
Same to you, Hank. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Shalom. Well, if you've been listening to my program over the past couple of months, you know that I have decided to do these interviews to bring to you a lot of the thoughts of the Chazanim and those involved with Chazanut, and I will be continuing this. I know that many of you have responded quite positively to this. Don't worry, I'll be getting back to the music. Maybe a little hiatus on the interviews during the High Holy Days, but there are quite a few others that I've hoped to interview, and it's been a little difficult catching people over the summer. So let's go to a particular selection that was requested, Shlomo Kalbach with Shema Kolenu. The great Shlomo Kalbach.
Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu Chus V'Racheim Oleinu Boi V'Kar
Shlomo Kalbach with Shema Kolenu. For those of you who have been listening to my program over the years know that when I first got started in 1977 and in the late 70s, the early 80s, my favorite four non-Chazonis artists were Mordechai Ben David, Avram Fried, Benzion Shanker, and Shlomo Kalbach. So for this program, at the beginning, Barosh Hashanah, that was, of course, Mordechai Ben David. And then we just heard Shlomo Kalbach. And right now it's time to hear Benzion Shanker. A couple of selections before we get to that rebroadcast of Name That Chazon. This is Areshes Sifoseinu with Benzion Shanker.
Yeah.
next to Bensi and Shanker with Ein Kitzva. Okay, Bensi and Shanker with Ein Kitzva, and let's just see if we have time for one more. Okay, this will be Simcha L'Artzcha.
Bum 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 b
Benzie and Schenker, and this is Charlie Bernhout. This is something, as I mentioned at the outset of the program, that's a little different. I was in my car listening to some of my old radio broadcasts, and I came across this 1 hour where I did an unusual name, the Chazen. Those of you who have been listening to me since 1977, you know that over the years, I periodically had a feature. I would play three cantors, name the Chazen, and whoever got the three would win a free record or tape or whatever. And this was done on March, it's from a program from March 2007, and I had just decided to play a tough one. Most of them were rather easy. And I just said, oh, let me see if I can stump them. And here is going back, what is that, 8 years? Yeah, 8 years to a very, very interesting name, Nechaz. And I hope that you'll enjoy this. Okay, it's time for Name Nechaz. You know the rules. The first person to correctly identify the next three cantors will win the prize. If you've won recently, please do not call because you want to show off, do it privately off the air, okay? Again, if you've won recently, please do not call. Phone number here is 212-529-4620. The first two are easy. The third one, be a tough one. I think we'll stump you tonight. Okay, Kavodo Mole Olam. This is from the Musaf Kedusha for Shabbos and festivals. This is cantor number one.
Oh!
That was Cantor number one for Name Nachazon. Don't forget, you need to name all three. I'm sure many of you recognize that cantor, and most of you will know the next one. Let's hear Ashrei.
Oh,
Okay, I'm supposed to smile. I don't know how many times I have to say, name all three, and the guy calls me up and he starts naming cantors. One, two, next one is three. You got to name all three. And whoever is calling right now, I'm not going to pick it up because it's not fair. You didn't even listen to the third cantor for Name That Cause. And we're here 212-529-4620. This one, I think we're going to stump you. We may have to change it to the best two out of three, but right now, let's hear Vahu Rachum.
Yeah.
Okay, Mitchell, let's see if you know who they are.
The first one is Rand, the second one's Rhoda, and the second one is Yosef Chaim Engelstein.
Wrong on all three, but thanks for calling. Name their cousin.
Yeah, the first one was Karagotsky, the second one was Slitsky, and the third one's Leza Shulman.
Nice try. Is it the same one? Oh, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
First one, Kardotsky. Second, Waldman. The third, Kalish.
No, sorry. Nice try. Go ahead.
The first one, Karagotsky. Second one, Arnold Diamond. The third, Benjamin Muller.
You got one of them correct, but thank you for calling. Okay, name that cousin. The lines are all on.
Arlo Diamond, Rosenblatt, and Pierce.
Wrong on all of them. Thank you. Next.
Yeah, I think it's Karagotsky, Slitsky, and the old Erblich.
Nice try. Thank you. Name that cousin.
Karagotsky, Diamond, Bagley.
Got one of them correct. Thank you. Okay, you're on the air.
Yes, Karagotsky, Vigoda, Erblich.
Got one of them correct. Thank you for calling. Well, it looks like we stumped. Oh, wait, let's see. There's one more. Okay, name that cousin. Are you there?
He and Mandel.
Say it again, please.
Karagotsky, Federation one, and Shitsky and Mandel.
Mandel, no, very close, but thank you. Okay, we stumped you. Well, let's see. There's one more. Last one. Okay, can you name the three?
Moshe Karagotsky and Mandelbaum.
You named two.
Yeah, and I'll get to
it. Okay, look, it was a tough one, I have to admit. Okay, most of you got Karagotsky. He's wonderful, isn't he? I'll tell you the whole story about him. He came from Russia. I heard him in Jersey while he was still alive. Wonderful, wonderful cousin. And of course, the second one was Slitsky. The third one, I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. First of all, it was with the Ben Friedman Choir, and this recording was recorded during his 34th year at the Westside Institutional Synagogue, and his name was Cantor Zalman Yavna.
He was born in 1904 in Osipovichi, Russia. And it's a long story. I'll tell you about his bio some other time. So that was named that cause, and I just felt like making it a little tough for you. Kurgotsky, Schlisky, and Yavna. Okay.
Okay, so I'm back to 2015. This is the current program. And if you were listening to that, perhaps you can help me. I'd love to do something like Name the Chazen again, but I'm not quite sure how I could make it work via the website. If you have any suggestions, I'm open to that. In the meantime, thank you so much for joining with me. Stay tuned for outstanding Slichas Davening with the great cantor Leibel Aglantz. And next week we'll be hearing from two outstanding Chazanim with the full services of for Slichas. Thank you for joining with me. I'm at cbjmusic@aol.com. cbjmusic@aol.com if you have any comments or requests. Thanks for joining with me, and Shalom.